Our psalm for this evening is Psalm 27, a psalm of David. Let me read it to you. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word to us. Before we turn and consider it, let's pray. Oh, our gracious Heavenly Father, again we thank you for your word. What a precious gift we have. Forgive us, Lord, that we do not treat your word as we ought. We do not study it and learn from it and live by it as we should. Indeed, sometimes we take your word and we apply our own weak, fallen, sinful understanding to it rather than simply obeying the clear precepts of your word. Help us not to subject your word to our own opinions and understanding and traditions or whatever that may be, but help us to subject the whole of our lives to your word. Give us understanding this evening of this psalm through your spirit. Help us to apply this psalm to our lives, to be encouraged and strengthened and directed by it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now the psalms, well, they're extremely popular, aren't they, for us to read as Christians. We often turn to the psalms, don't we, when we want a passage of scripture to encourage us or to help us or to inspire us. Now, why is that? Well, at difficult times within our lives, or even perhaps at joyous times within our lives, the Psalms can truly resonate with just how we are feeling. For here, within the Psalms, we find the whole of life, so to speak. We discover grief and sorrow and doubt. We also discover joy and blessing. Therefore, we can turn to the Psalms, can't we, for both comforts in our distress and for help in our worship. Now, our psalm for this evening, Psalm 27, is actually a psalm which can help at the very same time in all those aspects and areas of our lives. For within this fairly short psalm, David, the author, well, he goes through the whole range of emotions, doesn't he? For David expresses here within this psalm, he expresses emotions ranging from desperation on the one hand, to confidence on the other. So we have it all within this psalm, within this one psalm. Of course, by the time we get to the end of the psalm, it's confidence, isn't it? It's David's confidence which wins out. Confidence triumphs, as it were, over desperation. Verse 13, I believe, or I am still confident of this, that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David, as it were, is preaching to himself, isn't he? Now, this psalm falls naturally into four sections, all which display something of David's remarkable, vibrant faith in God. So let's look at those four sections of this psalm in turn. Let's see what we can learn from them for our own lives today as God's people. Firstly then, verses 1 to 3. In verse 1, David declares his faith and trust and reliance upon God, doesn't he? In fact, it's an amazing declaration of faith, isn't it? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now light, David says there that the Lord is my light. Light speaks, doesn't it, of two things. It speaks of both knowledge and also purity. So David is looking to God for understanding and for vindication. In verse 1, David is also looking to God for salvation and acceptance. The Lord is my salvation. And David is also looking to God for protection and help. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. You see, David knows who God is. And he knows that God is on his side. And that's why in the face of those very specific trials which David may have to face, as described to us in verses 2 and 3 of this psalm, David is not afraid. He has God on his side. It's an amazing declaration of faith by David. And what a lesson that is for us today. What a lesson. For we have the promise, don't we, that God is with us. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says to his disciples, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And we have the promise that God is working for the good of his people. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We also have the promise that God is stronger than anything else within this entire world. 1 John 4, verse 4, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And we have the promise too that God is on our side. He's for us. Not against us. Romans 8 verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So why then do we so often fall apart when things go wrong within our lives? What is that? You know what I mean, don't you? When a loved one gets ill, perhaps. Or an unexpected bill arrives in the post. Or when we're slandered by a former friend. We fall apart, don't we? So often. But we shouldn't. We should be like David in Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3. Our confidence is in God, that he is in control, that he loves us, and that he's on our side. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, the second section consists of verses 4 to 6. So what do we discover within these verses concerning David's faith in God? Well, they reveal to us that David's faith leads him to dedicate the whole life, the whole of his life to God. These verses are a statement, aren't they, of David's utter dedication to the Lord. They speak of David's focus and of David's passion and of David's desire. In fact, David's passion and dedication are overwhelming, aren't they? Do you notice that? Verse 4. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that will I seek after. And what's David's passion and focus? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in his temple. Or better, I think, to seek him in his temple. The Lord himself, you see, is David's desire. And this focus and this passion and this desire leads also to David's faithfulness towards God. To trusting God, even through times of hardship and difficulty. Verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent or tabernacle. Verse 6, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. And again, what a lesson that is for us today. Think particularly of that phrase in verse 4. A remarkable phrase. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That is David's passion, isn't it? That's David's desire. But do you do that? Do you? Do you long to do that? Do you? You see, the danger is we're so busy that we don't. We're too busy to do that. We're too busy to stop and gaze, to gaze upon God's perfections, his eternity, his majesty, his holiness, his wisdom, his goodness, his justice, his love, his grace, his mercy. And I could go on, couldn't I? We're too busy to stop and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And we think, don't we, that just a glimpse will suffice. Just a glimpse. But no, that's not what we need. And that is not what God wants for us. No, God wants our relationship with him to be deep. John 15, verse 9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me. Notice that, as the Father has loved me. It's the same quality of love that the Father has for the Son that he desires for us. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Why are we satisfied with second best? The third section is verses 7 to 12. Here we discover that David's faith in God leads to David being determined to seek God and to hold on to God. David will simply not let go or give up, will he? No. David is determined to persevere, come what may. Of course, this is not easy for David. For God, in his providence and for our good, God often lets us go through very difficult and distressing circumstances which can truly shake our faith in God. So perseverance is not meant to be easy. Indeed, easy perseverance is almost a contradiction in terms, isn't it? So this is not easy for David. But still David knows that God will guide him, though there will be all sorts of obstacles in his way. And David is determined to seek and hold on to God and not be left abandoned. David still knows, you see, that God will prove faithful, though others will let him down. So he's determined to seek and to hold on to God. Again, do you do that? Do you? Are you just like David? Can you say with David, "Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me." Or do you give up? Just like the seed thrown among the rocks and the thorns. You see suffering and oppression, the rejection and distress which we face in this world is actually for our good. It's not easy. It's still painful, but it's for our good. Why? Because it drives us. It should drive us to seek God all the more. It should make us look to him and hold on to him. For ultimately, what really matters is not what we have within this world, whether it's a lot or a little. No. What matters is that God is our Lord and Saviour. That's what matters. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Finally, fourth section, verses 13 and 14. And here we discover faith's destination, don't we? And it's, what is it? What is faith's destination? It's the goodness of God himself. I am still confident of this, that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. For suffering, you see, ultimately leads to glory. You realise that? Suffering leads to glory. That is the path to glory, through suffering. Suffering leads to glory, both in this world now, and even more in the world to come. And that glory is not so much living forever and ever, with no sorrows and no hardships, no, but that we shall see Jesus Christ and be with him, that we will indeed gaze upon his beauty and be with him. You see, Jesus Christ is what makes heaven heaven, isn't it? If Jesus Christ isn't there, it's not heaven. Vernon Higham has written a wonderful hymn, I'm sure you know it, called "I Saw a New Vision of Jesus." Now the last verse of that hymn goes like this. For yonder a light shines eternal, which spreads through the valley of gloom. Lord Jesus, resplendent and regal, drives fear far away from the tomb. Our God is the end of the journey, his pleasant and glorious domain. For there are the children of mercy who praise him for Calvary's pain. Now, did you notice? Our God is the end of the journey. In other words, faith's destination is God himself. To gaze, truly to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. As it says in Isaiah 33, we will gaze, we will look upon the beauty of the Lord and view a land that stretches afar. Well, may that encourage us to live for God in this difficult world in which we live as his people, holding on to that truth that our destination is not this world, but it is God himself in glory to come. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this psalm, Psalm 27, an amazing demonstration of David's faith. For all his failures and sin, he was a man of God. His heart, his desire, his longing, his passion was for you. And Lord, we pray that you would help us by your Spirit to be like David of old, that we might have faith in you, that we might be those who long to gaze upon your beauty, that we may be those who know that what really matters is you, not this world in which we live. Help us to realize again that our destination is to be with you, to be made like Christ. And we pray, Lord, that these truths may indeed help us and encourage us to be the people you would have us be. We pray this in the name of our precious Saviour. Amen.